Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Video News InScreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from InScreen Media is with me as always. Hi, Colin. How is everything?
It's great, Will. I'm feeling a lot better finally after this cold that dragged on for a couple of weeks, but I'm doing a lot better now. And I got to ask you, is Brady going to do it again with the Patriots?
Well, we certainly hope so, but we also know it's not necessarily as stout a team this year as in prior years, but Brady has a history of bringing them through, so fingers crossed, we'll see how it goes.
We'll have to see how he does against Mahone and the Chiefs this weekend. They're a pretty good team, and I can tell you, probably the rest of the country is pulling for anybody but the Patriots this year.
There's nothing new about that this year, right?
No, certainly isn't. But we have some pretty interesting topics that we want to talk about this week. And I think we're going to start off with a couple of announcements. Well, really a confirmation from Hulu and Sling TV, a new announcement from them. And then in the second part, we're going to talk about NBCU, right?
Yeah, and you're going to get us started. As you say, Sling TV had news this week about a new free experience that they're offering on Roku and a couple of other components. Hulu also trying to be in the aggregation business, just like Sling is trying to do now. And then we'll cut over to NBC. So why don't you go ahead and get us going?
Yeah, I mean, this aggregation of SVOD services is turning out to be a really big deal in 2019. And I got a feeling that we haven't seen the last of people entering this market. And really, Sling TV took me a little bit surprised this week because they've adjusted their model to allow them to become an SVOD aggregator. So the first thing they did was that they said that they would be providing free content, really free, where you don't need to sign in or register with a credit card to get a free trial or anything. And they're going to be putting some pretty good stuff out there. They say they're going to include episodes of popular shows like Shameless, The Big Interview with Dan Rather, and Heartland. And the other part of this is that they will also allow people who are using Sling and watching that free content to subscribe a la carte to other channels and the channels that they threw out there in the press release for things like Curiosity Stream, Docurama, and Stingray Karaoke, although I'm not familiar with that one. And I can, this is a classic, I think, SVOD play. Of course, Curiosity Stream is a pretty well known SVOD service and is available in Amazon channels and in a number of other places as well. So they're good. It's a good partnership for them to sort of start. But the other thing that also happened this week was we really had confirmation from Hulu that they were planning on doing the same SVOD aggregation play as Sling and as Amazon Channels. And this came in an interview on CNBC from CES with Hulu CEO Randy Freer. And what the interviewer was doing, Will, was she was asking, how are you going to compete with Disney Plus and Warner Media's service, which is due for delivery at the end of the year? Both of them are due for delivery at the end of the year. And of course, Warner Media's service is going to be anchored by HBO. And he said this, which I thought was really interesting. He said, our ability to bundle these services together or rebundle versus the historical view will give us a real opportunity, a real advantage to be the base of what consumers look to as their television. So in other words, he doesn't see them as competition at all. He sees them as partners. He wants to resell them. And I think in both Sling's case and in Hulu's case, Will, they both want to be the first place that you go to when you decide you want to watch video, when you want to watch something on television. They want to be the place that you just go and say, that's it, I'm going to watch and I'm going to boot up Hulu or I'm going to boot up Sling and I've got all my services there and that's where I'm going to spend my time. So, I think this is going to be a pretty big deal this year, don't you?
Yeah, well, I think we've talked about this topic in the past. Amazon Channels certainly has pioneered this model. Roku is now in the space. We've talked about Google and YouTube and Apple. And now we have, as we're saying today, we've got Hulu and Sling. And I think of these two companies that are coming at this opportunity from very different places. And with respect to Sling, it's not obvious to me that this is a meaningful value proposition for them, or that they really have, call it, customer permission to offer this type of service. And again, when I look at their own press release, and these things can always be a little bit confusing as far as what they're actually going to offer versus what's described, but where they talk about how you can subscribe to Showtime or NBA League Pass without a base subscription to Sling TV, I find that a head scratcher. I don't understand why anybody would be compelled to, if they're not a Sling TV subscriber, why they would be compelled to subscribe to NBA League Pass or any of these other services, Curiosity Stream, et cetera, through Sling TV rather than directly with those providers or through a more established aggregator like an Amazon Channels. It just is not resonating for me why somebody would choose that path if they were not a Sling TV subscriber. Now, if they were a Sling TV subscriber, then absolutely I see it as a natural that, to your point, Sling TV would try to position itself to be sort of the hub of all your TV watching. So I have to say that one does not resonate for me. On the other hand, I think Hulu does come at this with permission from customers, and certainly they've actually been doing a little bit of this since last year. So it seems like Freer's comment is maybe more choosing to maybe put greater emphasis on it in 2019. And I think that makes good sense if you're already a Hulu SVOD subscriber and or a Hulu Live TV subscriber. The idea that Hulu tries to be your hub and offers these additional services for subscription now that they already have your credit card information, which, by the way, if you weren't a Sling TV subscriber, there's no way Sling TV would have your credit card information prior to potentially trying to sign up for one of these services, which is a whole nother issue. But I think Hulu is better positioned in this respect. So I see these two initiatives kind of coming from different vantage points, and I think of Hulu as being a more logical extension than this Sling TV play.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with you. I think, look, Sling has just as much permission to do this with its subscribers as Hulu does with its, right? The only difference between Sling and Hulu is the number of subscribers. And yeah, I'll admit freely, Hulu has 10 times as many subscribers as Sling does. But, you know, if I have a relationship with Sling that's a paying relationship, then you bet this could be interesting to me, because I'm probably spending a lot of time in Sling anyway. And there's a second thing that this does. The free content helps get people in. And while it might not encourage somebody to subscribe to Curiosity Stream through Sling if they don't already have a Sling account, there it may help get people there and help them get subscribed to a Sling tier and get interested. And of course, we shouldn't forget Sling also has a whole bunch of language services that really aren't available anywhere else. There's a lot of native content from other countries available through Sling that this free content might help get people there and just help them find out about that. So, you know, I think Sling has as much permission from its customers to do this as Hulu does. The biggest difference, though, of course, is that Hulu has a much bigger audience. They have 25 million subscribers, and they can be pitching to them the SVOD services. And so I suspect that that'll be a little bit more interesting for SVOD providers. But, you know, I think Sling could do just as good a job for its customers as Hulu does for its in aggregating these services together.
Right. And again, I want to be very clear when I talk about permission. If it's an existing Sling TV subscriber, then absolutely they have as much permission as Hulu does or Amazon or whoever. They have your credit card. They already have a relationship with you. They're in a position to promote additional services. My quibble was with when they try to get people who are not Sling TV subscribers to want to subscribe to NBA League Pass or Curiosity Stream or one of these other SVOD services.
But Will, why does Hulu have any more permission than Sling in that situation?
Because you're already a customer of Hulu, Colin. In the case that Sling TV is describing on their press release, they specifically say binge watch shows on Showtime, NBA games, blah, blah, available for purchase without a base subscription. Right. That's again, I'm trying to draw a distinction here. If you're already a Sling TV subscriber, absolutely permission granted. My distinction is if you're not a Sling TV subscriber, it doesn't the logic flow doesn't make sense to me why you would choose to subscribe to NBA League Pass through Sling TV rather than just doing it standalone or through another company you already have a relationship
with. I see.
Such as Hulu or such as Amazon or such as Roku. It just that there isn't a logic flow for me on that play. But hey, if you're already a Sling TV subscriber, then absolutely, I think there is in as decent a position as anybody else is to be an aggregator.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're probably right. It is probably fairly unlikely that somebody that isn't an existing Sling customer would choose to sign up for Curiosity Stream through Sling, if that's the only service they're interested in all probability they'd go directly to Curiosity Stream and sign up there. And of course, Hulu doesn't provide any free content anymore. So by definition, if you're in Hulu, you're a paying customer. So I guess all of those folks certainly might have a vested interest into aggregating together their SVOD services under the Hulu umbrella. You could have a good point there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to be dogmatic. I just don't follow the logic flow. And we know that this whole video space is so intensely crowded now with so many direct-to-consumer efforts that trying to be an aggregator when you don't even have a base relationship seems unlikely. But the other thing I wanted to get back to, Colin, on Sling was, aside from this SVOD play, this other thing that they're doing, which is offering free content to Roku users without needing to sort of technically sign up for the free trial and enter your credit card. That's a new twist. And I find myself wondering whether that's really going to move the needle for them either, only because I think this concept of free trials is now so mainstream and well understood by people that giving that credit card, sort of knowing that you're not going to necessarily hang on to it or you make a note to drop it, whatever. I just find myself wondering whether that sort of a promotion play is really going to move the needle. I think you think differently about this, right? You think that it's...
I do. I mean, the thing is, Will, those free episodes are going to be showing up in searches on Hulu or wherever it's running, right? So if you're looking for Heartland and you find episodes for free on Sling TV, it might be the nudge that you need to get you to install and open the app and start playing with it. And then, oh, bingo, you find all of this other content and all you know, these other channels that you can subscribe to relatively cheaply, you know, $25 for the base subscription. So I think it's probably a good marketing ploy on their part to get people to the experience. So I do see value in them doing that, and I'm actually quite pleased to see them doing that. I think it's a great way to try the service out. And let's be clear, I think just entering a credit card, even for a free trial, is a big barrier to people signing up. You've got to have an implicit trust in the service that they're going to treat your confidential information with respect before you're willing to do that. And that is becoming a higher and higher barrier to cross, right? Because we're quite rightfully, I think, quite mistrustful of the ability of services, online services, to manage our private information and not have people steal it. So I do think that's a barrier. I do think the cure to that barrier is to have free content, really free content that doesn't require any any sign up. And I think that there are the tools in the platforms to help people find it and watch it. So I think it's probably a good promotional move by Sling.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a strong conviction on this one. I'm certainly all for trying different marketing tactics. There's no issue with that. I just find myself, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays, find myself wondering whether it's really going to move the needle. I think your issue on privacy and data usage, I think of it as two different issues. I think people have their own questions about whether they should submit their credit card information. I think people's bigger issues right now is whether their usage is being tracked and their privacy being violated for other business purposes. This gets us into, I think, first and foremost, what Facebook has done.
Yeah.
I think sort of two separate issues. I'm not sure that, the Sling TV free content trial necessarily sort of blurs into the Facebook privacy thing. I think it's more, as you said earlier, do people want to enter their credit card to another place and not worry that they're going to start being profiled a la Facebook?
Right.
Just do want to deal with that again. And I think that's a very fair, legitimate concern. And I know I have the same concerns myself. Do I really want to enter my credit card another place? I forgot I need to cancel the free trial when the week is up. Then it shows up for a month. Then you're dealing with trying to get a credit, what have you. So I think that's legitimate. And let's wait and see how it plays for them, whether it actually does move the needle. We know Sling TV additions have decelerated dramatically in the past year. So they need a shot in the arm.
They sure do. But, let's spend a couple of minutes talking about NBCU. They've done something that I think both you and I were expecting, or they say they're going to do something. So get us up to date. What are they doing?
Yeah, so this is something that I do find very intriguing. Not necessarily totally unexpected, as you just said, because we know everybody and his brother seems to be jumping into the direct-to-consumer streaming market right now. But this week, we did get the news from NBC that they are going to launch a direct-to-consumer service. That'll happen sometime, I think they said, in early 2020, so about a year or so out still. But the idea is that they are going to allow non-pay TV customers to purchase and subscribe to their service. Now, it's not clear whether that service will be ad-free, a la Netflix, or ad-supported, a la the Hulu hybrid service. That's to be determined. But that they will provide a standalone service for cord cutters. And in addition to that, they're going to provide this same service that I'm referencing to existing pay TV subscribers, and that they're going to make an ad-free version of that available to pay TV subscribers for an additional fee. So a bunch of different things going on there. To me, most significant piece of news here is that NBC is going to offer this service for cord cutters or non-pay TV subscribers. And I think that will ultimately represent another effort just along the same lines as the Disney effort, the Warner Media effort, everything else that's happening that puts pressure on the pay TV bundle and whether people feel the need to continue subscribing or if they choose instead to sort of do it yourself or cobble together type of mode, subscribing to the services, only those services they care about. So I looked at it as significant in that respect. And of course, you can't also look at anything that NBC does without putting in the context of the fact that they're owned by Comcast, which is the largest cable TV operator in the country still. And to the extent that this new NBC service puts pressure on the bundle, that's obviously a challenge for its parent Comcast. So I thought very significant in all those respects.
Yeah, the intriguing thing for me in this announcement was that they say they're going to be leveraging Sky technology to do this, and in particular Now TV, which I've urged. One of the things I said when Comcast made the announcement that they were buying Sky is that they really learn from what Sky is doing with Now TV, because I really like that approach in the UK market, and I think it would transfer here very well. So I'm really intrigued to see what they mean by that they're going to be using Sky and Now TV technology and approaches here, because it sure doesn't sound like what they're saying they're going to do is like Now TV. I guess we'll have to see. The thing that NBCU's announcement DTC service, it doesn't seem to amount to the commitment that we have heard from Disney and from Warner Media with their services. And I think that what Disney and Warner Media are after with their services is what I like to think of as anchor tenancy. That is, that they want to be one of the four or five services that many, many people subscribe to. So, you know, in the traditional pay television and traditional television world, we all spent time with NBC, ABC, CBS and Fox or some combination of them. We spent quite a lot of time with them watching their shows. And I think that's that in the sort of web world, that's translating to a four or five services that we're actually going to subscribe to that we feel passionate about. And we are going to spend a lot of time with. And I think that's the play that Disney and Warner Media are up to. That's certainly what Hulu and Netflix and Amazon are trying to do with their video plays. But it doesn't. NBCU's play doesn't feel like it's doing that. It feels like it's, here's another benefit for pay television. Oh, by the way, if you don't have pay TV, you can get in on this too. Rather than this is us getting all in on OTT and really trying to be one of those anchor services. Does it feel that way to you, that they are getting all in, or this is just sort of getting their toe in the water type approach?
Well, first of all, I think it would be pretty much unrealistic to think that NBCU, owned by Comcast, is going to somehow do a 180 and go all in on OTT, right? I mean, that would be, even if they weren't owned by Comcast, they have billions of dollars of legacy revenue or existing revenue, call it, in the pay TV world that they're not just going to walk away from. So I think that would be too high an expectation. As far as exactly how significant the SVOD or the OTT service will be a year from now when it launches, I think it's too early to know, Colin. I think we have to see what it ultimately ends up being. It could end up being a very robust, compelling offering. And, you know, who knows? Too early for me to tell.
Well, I got to tell you, Will, I don't think it is an unrealistic expectation to hear them do something like this. That's precisely what Sky did in the UK when it launched Now TV. They said, you know, our growth has pretty much stuck at just under 10 million subscribers. We can't get any more no matter what we do. We need a new approach. And the new approach they took was an OTT approach with Now TV. And it has delivered. They now have real subscriber growth going on again. And I really think that there is an opportunity for Comcast to reverse its fortunes with pay television and to again enjoy video growth. And I think for Comcast, it's a double benefit, right? Because it also helps their broadband and it helps their other businesses. So anyway, I do think that there is a case for them to go all in, just as Sky, I think, has gone all in without, by the way, abandoning the traditional pay television model at all, and to get real growth. But that certainly doesn't sound like that yet. We'll have to see, I guess, what they mean by leveraging Now TV and Sky technology. Maybe it's going to be much bigger than we think.
Yeah, I think we're maybe stalled a little bit on what the definition of all in is.
Yeah.
I think we're a topic for another day. I'm going to give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here. I think their eyes are open and they're moving forward, but let's wait and see what it turns out to be. But in this case, I think we are up against our self-imposed time limits. So covered a lot of ground here today, right, Colin?
We sure did. Good conversation as always, Will.
Absolutely. And we'll keep an eye on Sling TV's efforts, NBCU's efforts, and everything else that's going on in our upcoming podcast. So thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition. And we will see you all again next week.